Good afternoon, everyone. It's me, Matthew. Hi. Hello. Who else do we have here?
Well, I know. My pants are on the floor, and I went out to the door, and I went off to the store, but my pants, they stayed behind on the floor.
That's okay. That was a little sweet. That was a sweet one.
But then big old pig came down the street. He was looking for some feed or meat to take a seat, cause he wanted to beat himself off.
Ooh.
He found my pants upon the floor. He chased me down at the store. He did a nude act in public.
Okay.
And everybody saw.
What was... I'm not going to ask what the nude act in public was. Why would I need to?
Act.
Oh, the lewd. You said lewd act, didn't you? I guess I just assumed.
Ludo, friend. I don't know if my microphone is recording anything, Matthew. Do you see? Because I took my glasses off and now I see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the truth. Do you see little lines moving as I speak?
No, because the recording device is angled away from me. It's deliberately pointed straight at you. The reason I put you there was so that you could monitor the recording levels with a pair of headphones or something like one normally does.
I don't want to hear this garbage. But you know who does, Matthew?
Who?
Your patrons who are making this possible. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of Cozy Pants, where we talk about what's going on and how things are. James, do you mean to tell me you can't see that far without your glasses?
There's a lot of issues going on. One is that if I tilt my head down slightly to look at the recorder, I can no longer see the microphone, so I don't know if I'm talking
into it or not. You don't need to see the microphone in order to look.
But I might not be talking into it. So I have to look away to see the device, and then I feel like my sound isn't on.
Okay. You mean your mouth? Is that what you...
Matthew, there's a volume slider in my heart.
Okay, here's what we're going to do, James. You're going to keep making some noise, and I'm going to come over there and look at the recording settings for you.
Oh, don't come over here. No. Help. Oh, help me. Help me. Oh, my goodness. Am I doing it? Am I doing it? Am I doing it right?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
I think so. Now, if I talk, you see levels for me. You can look away now because I'm talking.
Oh, look away. I see it all.
This is what a partnership truly is. Well, here we are. What have we been up to? What have we been watching?
We watched the beginning of Robin Hood.
We did. Yesterday, we had a marathon recording session for Queens of Adventure. It was quite a situation. We had a recording session on Saturday. We had another one on Sunday. They were lengthy and exciting. A lot happened in both of them.
We had our first guest.
We had our very first guest on Queens of Adventure, which is going to be very exciting. That episode will be coming out in the future. I'm not sure exactly when.
We have a tight little schedule. It's going to be hard to fit new bonus episodes in, but maybe that situation will change. That is my special voice.
Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of Queens of Adventure, Dungeons & Dragons playing with our drag queen cast and our special guest. And then I was like, I just need to watch something that I can turn my brain off to. And so, wonderfully, James, you put on that Robin Hood.
It's Robin Hood you want.
It's a really good situation.
It's a weird
movie. I wouldn't
say
it's a good movie, but it's a good situation.
It is entertaining to watch. It's just such a strange movie. It has like a 12-act structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole bunch of little vignettes, many of which are only kind of vaguely adjacent to Robin Hood.
Yeah, last night you said it's kind of an Altman film.
Yeah, it's a strange structure. Not a bad structure, per se. But it came out, I think, around the same time as The Sword and the Stone, or within a short period of time.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. Late 60s, early 70s?
Yeah, and they're both weird movies. They're
super
both
weird.
Like collections of... They're almost anthologies.
I think that's a good way to think of them. Yeah, and I think that's what makes it feel Altman-esque is that we see Sherwood Forest, or Nottingham Forest, as a character as much as anyone else in the movie. We just sort of spend some time with them and see their day-to-day.
We learn a lot about the people of Nottingham. Yes, it's true. I spent many months in Nottinghamshire.
You did?
Nottingham Castle. Ooh, Matthew, Nottingham.
Wait, you England. Weren't in the castle, though.
I spent a lot of time at the base of the castle because there's a bar down there.
Oh.
Ye old trip to Jerusalem. They claim to be the oldest pub in all of England, but I have a feeling there are probably many oldest pubs in all of England.
Well, that does seem likely.
They've got a horn on the wall, Matthew. They do.
Uh-huh.
There's the castle, and then at the base of the castle, Nottingham has these limestone caves, many of which are haunted. Allegedly.
Now, when you say you spent time at the base of the castle, I imagine you preparing for a siege or something.
Well, it's like a. I mean, I don't want to be overdramatic, so I don't know if it's an escarpment. I don't know if it's a hill. There's like a cliff uh-huh. that the castle's like up on.
Okay.
And then down at the bottom is this pub.
Okay.
And they're not as proximate as I'm making them sound, but the pub is partially built into this limestone cave, Matthew,
mm-hmm.
and then sticking out of the wall is a horn, like a bull's horn.
Yeah, now the first few times, this was many years ago that you were there, and when you initially described it to me, I was picturing like a French horn.
Not that
or
kind of horn.
A saxophone or something.
No.
And so your description of the activities one engages in with it were very confusing to me.
It's a confusing world, Matthew.
So it's like a steer's horn, basically.
I don't know what beast it. It might be a unicorn, for
sure.
All I know, but it was a beast's horn coming out of the wall, and you stand there, real drunk, across the room from it,
mm-hmm.
and there's a metal ring on a chain or a rope. It's on something, and you're supposed to hold it back and let it swing around the room, and if it hooks onto the horn, I think you get a free drink, or you get like a slap on the ass or a finger in the bum or something. I don't know what you get.
Now, this was also the place, wasn't it, with what was it, Binkles and Wilk?
Oh,
Binkles
no,
and
the
Welk?
Cockles and Welk.
Cockles.
Now, that was not at Ye Olde Trip, although...
Oh.
That man may have made his way there. I used to know his name. I've looked his name up from time to time when I forget it, but I've forgotten again.
Cockles Welkington.
He was a man. He wore a paper hat and a striped costume. He was the kind of person you'd see in the By the Sea number from Sweeney Todd, or perhaps the, the Holiday Camp song from The Who's Tommy. You know, that sort of seaside fun fest man. But it was inland.
Mm.
It was in Nottingham, which by the sea
it's in the
at
middle
all.
Of the yeah.
But he walked around. He had like a cigarette kind of tray, and it was full of little like Dixie cups, like the cups you get at the dentist. And he'd say, "Cockles, Cockles and Welk, Cockles, Cockles and Welk." That's exactly his accent, Matthew.
I don't know why I didn't know that they were in little Dixie cups.
Little,
I don't know what I thought they were
in. Like dental cups, yeah, like you get at the dentist rinse your mouth.
So you just slurp down your whelk.
Like a shot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, bit of the sea, bit of the sea.
Bit of the sea.
Bit of the sea. And it was a little Dixie cup of just miscellaneous bits of the sea. I couldn't tell, I mean, I guess cockles and whelk, but it was just chopped up like mollusk and cephalopod in, like, it kind of was like straight from the sea. It was sandy, salty salt water, and you were meant to just chug it down. Now, again, you were probably very drunk.
Yes.
When you were buying cockles and whelk from the cockles and whelk man.
Yes.
He would also show you a picture of his wife, Matthew, while you swilled down his foul business.
Was she a clam or something?
She was indeed a clam. She was dead. That's very rude.
Oh!
But he would show you a
what?
Picture of her all the same. She was probably in the cups, now that I think about it.
Oh, good Lord.
But
she lost at sea?
It's possible. The cockles and whelk themselves did not have much of a flavor, aside from a gritty, salty sandiness. Mm. But it was a mouth... I'll tell you the mouth feel. You don't want to chew, I don't think. Because
uh-huh.
if you get a bite,
the bite is...
That's trouble.
Mm.
You might as well just... swallow the bit of the sea.
Mm.
And it is. It's like you're just swallowing a bit of the sea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you get your cockles and whelk from the cockles and whelk man. They had multiple Robin Hood museums and attractions.
Oh, sure.
I went to none of them.
Oh, okay.
Matthew. But I'll tell you what they did have near one of the Robin Hood museums. A delightful, probably the best Indian restaurant I've ever been to.
Really?
Don't remember what it was called, so I guess it wasn't that good. But I'll tell you what. It was like down the block from a Robin Hood museum. And it was so good.
What was so good about it?
It had a flavor.
Okay.
And
that's
I liked
a
that
good
flavor,
start.
Matthew. I would get food there.
That's all a food. That's all a restaurant review needs to be.
It had such a good flavor, Matthew. They had chutneys. I remember eating a chutney. I remember having curries. Mm. I had the curries. Like, I don't know how to explain. Like, we had someone over the other day, and we were talking about a wonderful burrito in San Francisco, and they asked what made it so good, and it was like it tasted good. I couldn't tell you, Matthew. I'm no burritophile. But I have eaten a burrito.
Yes.
And these burritos in San Francisco, I'll tell you what, they taste good.
Now, I recall when you came back from that trip, you were a bit more adventurous when we went out to eat.
Was I really?
Yes, I remember.
After going to England?
After going to England. Oh. Specifically, you wanted to go to Indian places more after that.
Oh,
and
sure.
We never went to any place that I think was as good as your experiences in England.
No.
But just imagine what would happen if we ever went to India.
Well, I wonder, because I think that the Indian food we eat, and this could be pure ignorance, folks, but I think the Indian food that we eat came to us by way of England. Like the tikka masala, there's a debate, Matthew, about who invented it, and the part of the debate is that it was invented by the English.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, in the same way that, like, you know, American Chinese food bears very little resemblance to food eaten in China.
I suppose.
I think that the Indian food that we got by way of England, and again, this could be pure horseshit, is not the same food you get in India. But maybe it is. I don't know. This could be pure horseshit. I just have a feeling any kind of food that you get at a fast food place is probably not...
Oh, sure.
You know, not... Fast food, I don't know, what do we call it? Quick service. When you know, you can go to a place and go to a counter and get something and take it away in a little box, a little takeaway. You know, I don't know that it's the most authentic dining experience. It can be quite tasty, yes. Ooh, but I don't know about... what do I know from authenticity, Matthew? Here I am in my wizard robe.
Mm-hmm. We're both wearing wizard robes right now.
Moldering away. Of a January evening, lusting for, chutneys past. Matthew, I'll tell you what.
Yes.
Those kids at the pub, they could go when they were 18 there, Matthew.
Oh.
And they get hammered.
Oh, I bet. Good gravy.
One of the things, they're not allowed to stay open as late as here. Mm-hmm. So it's not 2 a.m. In fact, I'm not even sure it's midnight.
They can get drunk, but they have to just be in bed at a reasonable hour?
Here's what happens.
Yeah.
It's because they close... Like, I want to say in some places it was like 9, but that might not be true. It was... but alcohol was not served beyond a certain point. It was far earlier than I expected. And so what happens is people drink a lot really fast.
Mm.
They want to get their drinking in before it closes. Now, not to say that staying open to 2 a.m. would make this any better, but like... You hit the streets at like 11, and there are people peeing in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody grab me in a crosswalk and hug me.
Oh,
it's true. And I was, and he was sort of a cute youth, and I was like, oh dear.
Well, it's true. Follow him home?
No, he was his friend extricated him.
Oh,
but there was a lot of intense intoxication, a lot of ghosts.
Not what I was expecting from
the
end of that sentence.
Bars have ghosts.
Oh, of course, they're all haunted.
They want to tell you the story of their particular ghost.
Uh-huh. Was like the ghost of the horn or something, like the cow that gave its horn for the walls still tromping around in there, mooing at you?
Well, so one of the pubs did have, you could open a little side door and there was a staircase that went down into the limestone caves.
Okay.
Which were the Robin Hood legend.
Oh, is that where they hid?
Well, so there, one of the things about Nottingham is that it is full of caves and tunnels.
That sounds
and
good.
So bandits and highwaymen and smugglers and...
smugglers.
Scoundrels of various sorts made use of these tunnels, Matthew.
Yeah.
And you go down into the tunnel, and there is a baby doll.
What?
There's a baby doll, and they have it, like, behind a velvet rope.
What?
And the idea is that sometimes the baby doll comes to life.
What?
And so you go further into the tunnel, and then there's a whole room of baby dolls, which are kind of an offering to the first baby doll.
What?
Yeah. There's a baby doll.
Okay. Well, now I'm interested. Now I want to go to Nottingham to see the baby dolls.
The baby dolls.
They're just like hidden away in the caves. Who put them there?
Well, I mean,
who put the first one there?
People, I don't know.
For what reason? Who was like, you know what this cave needs?
I don't know. Like, you'd think if it was a tourist attraction, like the man-eating chicken at the Village of Dutch Delights, they would advertise it a lot more.
Universal
but
reference.
It was kind of like you just had to find the pubman to let you down there, and then you'd go down, and you'd be like, okay.
Why isn't it something Robin Hood related?
You'd think, because it actually, I think, is on the same street as one of the Robin Hood museums.
Huh.
But no, it's just go see the baby dolls.
Is that what Robin Hood actually stole?
He might have stolen a lot of baby dolls, Matthew.
Huh, well.
So you would go into the tunnels, and they were cold, I tell you.
Ooh. Oh, I bet.
Yeah, and there's a little story, this little story about people hiding out in there. People would hide in the tunnels.
From the sheriff?
From the baby doll. No, I don't know.
Are those the people who hid? They eventually they got turned into baby dolls?
Well, I like that story. Those are the merry men.
Oh.
That's what's left of them.
Oh, God. This is troubling.
There is a Sherwood Forest.
Sure.
There is the University of Nottingham, which is lovely. A lovely campus, Matthew.
Now, you met like the Lord Mayor or something, didn't you? Didn't you see some crown jewel man?
What?
Okay, so So here's what I have in my head.
Yeah?
Maybe this isn't true.
Yeah?
But I have some mental image, and I don't know why I would have this, because I wasn't there with you.
Uh-huh.
But I have some mental image of you in some fancy, elaborate cathedral-type building, meeting a man in a fur robe who's wearing a necklace of jewels and a crown.
I think you're confusing a whole bunch of things, because you're sort of kind of describing the beefeater men who guard the Tower of London and give you the tours.
Okay, you didn't do that.
And they do take you to the crown jewels.
And you saw those. I could have sworn you told me you met the mayor or something.
The Lord Mayor.
Of Nottingham? Is that even
maybe
a thing?
I mean, there is. It's got quite a town square with, I don't know, I can't remember if it's a church or the town hall, but there is a very, like, fancy building in the town square.
Okay.
And I did see, like, a couple of, like, events there. The Lord Mayor. I don't know if they have a Lord Mayor.
That's the thing. As I'm describing this, it's sounding less and less like... Wasn't there, like, a cup? Like, a magic chalice or something that you were...
A magic chalice? They're very...
Or maybe it was a scepter or something? I could have sworn...
A scepter.
You were in the presence of an important person...
Okay.
...who had some kind of, like, royal artifact or something.
Are you thinking about the Black Rod?
I could be.
Because I didn't see the Black Rod.
No. I know that there is a Black Rod.
Yes.
But no, I could have sworn it was like some sort of like jewel-encrusted bludgeoning mace or something that ceremonially was hefted in your presence.
I saw Henry VIII's codpiece.
Okay, maybe
that's... It had a hole at the tip. They would make a little hole in the tip of the codpiece. Now, I think it was probably to piss, but allegedly it was like... I don't know, like good luck to keep the penis from rotting or something.
What? Okay.
Now the thing
it's
about
breathing
Henry,
hole.
I think so. The thing about Henry VIII's codpiece.
Yeah.
It is comically large.
Uh-huh. We're talking like a bowling ball or?
Well, it not round. Like it juts out like a toucan's beak.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, follow my nose.
Exactly right. So, no subtlety here.
Uh-huh.
Not subtle, Matthew.
Good. 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 That's what I want
to
wear.
I remember what else I saw at Nottingham. I was walking the streets of Nottingham late at night, like Jack the Ripper, and I did witness something. I witnessed there was a street light, Matthew, like in the Don't Stop Believing song. It was red. And then it turned, I was approaching the intersection, it was indeed a cobblestone street, like a windy, old-timey street near the town square, and there was a street light up ahead where a main road intersected with this little walking road, and... The light was red. When it turned green, fog crossed the street. There was this cluster of fog that swept across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it turned red again, the fog just stopped. It ended.
Fog rolled
across when the light was green. And it was sort of illuminated partially green as it crossed the light. And then it was illuminated red and no more fog. It just stopped.
You know, they do say the British are very well-mannered people.
I'm not sure that that's true.
Don't they say that? Don't the British, aren't they like pip, pip?
Oh, they're passive-aggressive.
Oh, sure. Maybe this is some passive-aggressive fog.
Aren't they
not like, I'm not saying like the Germans, an orderly society, but I don't know. Don't they politely defer to social conventions?
Well,
isn't that a British thing?
I don't know that I can say that for all the British, but maybe.
Well, I guess not the ones who were like pissing in the bushes and hugging you in crosswalks.
That's true, Matthew.
Maybe it was fog. Maybe it was a vampire.
It could have been a vampire crossing the crosswalk, and they do have to stop and count every grain of rice that is spilled.
That's true. He's on his way to an Indian restaurant to count some of the grains of rice.
That's right. That's where the vampire was headed.
Gotta go.
Oh, that is. Oh, and they do use garlic in a lot of Indian dishes.
Oh, well,
It's perfect vampire trap.
Yes.
That's why there's no more vampires in England.
That's why. That's why. They spill some rice.
Yes. And then they get them with the garlic.
They time the traffic lights.
Yep.
To create a green wave.
Uh-huh.
And then the vampires are like, oh, boy, what a Butterfingers. And
clarified Butterfingers.
Clarified Butterfingers.
Yeah.
Is that a good drag name?
No.
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 No. Anyway, so that was your trip to England, which comes up because we were talking about Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, I want. Oh, that's right. We were in Nottingham. We were there with Prince John and the Sheriff and Friar Tuck.
It's a very good experience. Like I said, it's hard to call it a movie, though. It does feel like 6 episodes and then a special.
Yeah, you're invited into the world of Nottingham. Like the bulk of the story, I mean, I guess there's 2 real story segments, right? There's the prison break, and then there's the tournament.
I guess there's a lot of stuff that leads up to the tournament.
Yeah.
And then there's the romance scene that I always fast-forwarded through into heterosexual romance. And then a bit of a party, and then Prince John cracks down on everyone. They have to do a prison break? Oh, yeah, they're trying to lure... That's it. They're trying to lure Robin Hood in by hanging Friar Tuck.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Is that part of the actual Robin Hood story?
It might be. I don't know.
I honestly don't know. Is Robin Hood a book?
I think he's like a folk hero. I think there's many Robin Hood stories.
Yeah. So I actually don't know if it comes from some unified single source, like, I don't know, the Canterbury Tales, or if it's just stories that people tell.
Kevin Costner wrote it.
Oh, sure.
Do you remember that, Robin Hood?
Very little, because did we start watching that?
We started watching it, and then you didn't want to keep going, I don't think. I like it for Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman is fantastic.
Now, am I remembering this correctly, that he has a throne of bones? Doesn't he have a bone throne?
I don't think he has a bone throne, but he does have a witch.
Okay.
And the witch is very good.
Surely, she's got a bone throne.
She very well might. There may be a bone throne.
A witch is...
But there is a witch.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. Alan Rickman and a witch.
Yes.
That's a movie that I would like to see, but if Kevin Costner would just get out of the way.
He needs to get out of the way.
Mm.
Morgan Freeman is in it.
Is he?
I believe it's
as
Morgan
what?
Freeman. I don't remember his character's name. He's somebody that Robin meets during the Crusades and takes him back to England.
Oh, I'm starting to remember that, yes.
And who else is in it? Oh, little Christian Slater, that little snack.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
he plays Robin Hood's secret boyfriend.
No, he has a Robin? Wait, I was going to call him a Robin to his Robin Hood, but that doesn't really make sense. He's a boy
Kermit
wonder?
Is what you mean.
His what? His Kermit?
No, well, he's the Robin to his Kermit.
Ah,
Matthew.
Yes.
His name is... I feel like he has a very gay name in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's like Swift Bottom. It's not that. That's a good name. I want to be called Swift Bottom. It's
All right, let's see. I'm
looking
it up.
It's like Johnny Lickshits.
Oh, it's not that gay. It's Will Scarlet.
There we go. I knew it was dashing.
It is
Will
yeah.
Scarlet.
He's got sort of a roguishness to him.
Was I right about Morgan Freeman?
Probably. I don't see him immediately.
Oh.
This is some very 90s hair, though.
It certainly is. Kevin Costner makes no attempt at an English accent.
Good.
It's wild.
Good.
It's wild.
Oh, dear. Morgan Freeman plays Azeem.
Okay, sure.
Sure.
That's right.
Alan Rickman is the sheriff.
The sheriff. The wonderful sheriff.
Mm. Well, so
who
maybe...
Who was Maid Marian?
Maid Marian was Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Oh, the old Mastrantonio. We don't see much of her these days.
Yeah, what's her deal? I don't know who that is.
Mary Steenburgen went in for an arm operation and developed a weird synesthesia kind of thing.
Wait, did Mary Steenburgen become Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio?
I think they crossed over when she had her operation.
Okay.
No, she went in for an arm operation and it changed her brain.
Did they just miss?
They must have missed by a mile, because when she came out, she perceived everything as music. And then she became a songwriter. Ted Danson.
You did tell me about this, and it just seems like a really hard wire to have crossed.
It is. Who knew the music wire was in your arm?
Yeah. So let's see. Who do we have here for Mary Elizabeth? Our most recent. Oh, she's still working. She was on The Punisher.
Oh, good.
And the TV series Grimm. Mm. And Law and Order Criminal Intent.
Well, sure.
I still don't understand the and something called Consenting Adults.
Oh my goodness.
But I don't understand the music arm.
Oh, well, because you mentioned someone whose name is ever so slightly like Mary Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, of course.
Master Antonio, Mary Steenburgen, who was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. She was cuckolding her husband with Johnny Depp.
Mm.
But then there's misfortune.
I just want you to know that IMDb is also advertising to me. The boy from Mrs. Doubtfire is an absolute hunk.
Oh, wait. So, that's not little Jonathan Lipnicki, is it? Because he did did bulk up.
Oh, that's true. He did. All right. Yes. I'm going to click one of these.
Can I talk about it? Is he 18 yet?
Jonathan Lipnicki?
Yeah.
I think he's well into his 20s. Oh, maybe even his 30s.
What a nightmare.
Probably.
Oh. I don't know. In my mind, he's still like he's an incredibly buff 7-year-old.
Okay, sure. One of those bodybuilders. James,
what?
This is one of those. So, of course, I clicked on it for the sake of this podcast, everybody. You're welcome. Yeah. To find out what the boy from Mrs. Doubtfire looks like now. Mm-hmm. It took me to another spam site.
Yeah, it's never the thing they say it is.
And there was a link there that I had to open in another spam site.
Oh, boy.
And now I'm in a multi-page photo gallery.
Oh, no.
On which I have to continually click next through various screen grabs from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Ha!
We're on page 6
of
just screen grabs from Mrs. Doubtfire. Here's a picture of some unrelated woman.
Mm-hmm.
No idea who. Oh, it's professional dancer Cheryl Burke, who apparently he dated in 2008.
Who did? Mrs. Doubtfire?
No. The little boy from the Mrs. Doubtfire kid.
Wait.
So,
how old would he have been in 2008?
Oh, probably old enough to date. What are you asking?
Oh, okay.
He's apparently 39 now.
What?
That's what the internet says.
Wait a minute.
His
How
name,
is that possible?
Is it Matthew Lawrence?
No, he wasn't in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay, so something has
Matthew
happened.
Matthew Lawrence is probably 30, 38, 39.
I'm on page 13 at this point.
Uh-huh.
And everything I'm reading is about Matthew Lawrence, so
I don't think he was in Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean, you could check. Mara Wilson was. Wasn't she?
Now,
world's coming apart at the seams.
Mara Wilson is in Mrs. Doubtfire.
All right. And she's old enough to date.
She frequently appears in these little roundups as well.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, here I'm turning the computer towards you so you can see. There
That's
he is.
Eric Trump.
He's an absolute hunk, according to this 17-page photo gallery.
All right. Now, I wouldn't put on my glasses to see if the audio was working, but he's like...
He looks like
he's like an LA6.
He's a oh geez okay, all right, there you have it, folks. And now we go back to screen grabs from
perfect, right from the dude looks like a lady montage.
Yeah,
the dude did look like a lady.
Yeah,
you know, we did an end of year survey for Queens of Adventure asking people what some of their favorite drag entertainment was.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Doubtfire scored incredibly high.
Really,
it was like. It was like Drag Race, Rocky Horror, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
Mrs. Doubtfire, incredibly powerful drag icon.
I guess she is iconic. She's a tough one to forget.
She really is. Hello!
Yeah, it was Matthew Lawrence.
Was it really?
It was.
I didn't know, like little Joey's friend.
Yeah.
Little Joey Lawrence.
Honestly, I think I like him better than Joey.
Joey said, whoa.
When it comes to looks.
The thing with Joey is he had the arms, Matthew.
Oh, sure.
They would always find reasons to show you the arms.
Lots of people have arms.
Oh, do they?
Not Mary Steenburgen anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what. She's got extra arms now. She's like General Grievous.
Uh-huh.
Matthew. That was the operation she went
in for.
Oh,
that's for she just had a little cough.
Yep, and she came out fully grievous. That's a risk, you know, with socialized medicine. You go in for just a cough and they take all your organs out mm-hmm. in a bag and they grievous you.
Now, we also have we've also watched Willow.
Oh, I forgot it. I really did.
Yeah.
I really did forget that we watched Willow.
On the subject of castles and whatnot.
Yes.
We did watch Willow. So I don't remember why. I think it was just we sat down. Disney Plus has it available.
That is true.
It is quite bad.
It's really, really bad. It's a blueprint for all the things that will eventually be wrong with episode one. But so much more forgettable and so just like, I mean, with all due respect to Ron Howard, just like poorly made.
It's really strange because, I mean, you've got like a bunch of ideas from George Lucas. You've got Ron Howard. You've got so much money. This was an extremely expensive movie.
Yeah.
And made it back internationally, bizarrely enough.
Well,
but
very good.
Yeah, it's all the pieces. This is what I was thinking about it afterwards. It's got like, it's as though someone said, what if we took all the pieces of a fantasy story and just kind of like put them together? Do you think a story would just grow by itself in between all the pieces?
Maybe. It's just, the thing that really astonishes me is it feels so much like something you'd see on Mystery Science Theater. If the budget was not there, it is totally like a cave dweller's quality movie. Like stuff just happens. Like causality is very nebulous. Our protagonist is one of those do nothing protagonists, which like in a lavish movie like a Barbarella, I can appreciate, even though it's like the story of Barbarella is not so good. Yeah, it just, he bumbles from thing to thing, and none of the things are particularly interesting. And when I say bumble, like, even that's making it sound too, like, oh, bumbling could be funny. It's just, like, some things happen, and then it ends.
Yeah, he's just kind of, like, dragged from place to place. Things happen around him. This is a problem that we were having with some of the Netflix shows that we've been watching. People just don't do things the way that normal people do things. Like,
well, either people don't do things at all.
At all.
Like, things just happen to them.
Or just, like, incredibly unmotivated. Like, why are you doing that?
Right, just because the story calls for it now. I think the biggest tragedy of the movie is there's a character named Sorsha who is potentially quite interesting.
She is fascinating for the first half of the movie.
And then the man kisses her, and no joke, after the man kisses her,
halfway through,
she does not speak a single line of dialogue. Now, I'm being a little hyperbolic. She says mother, and she says the word I. But
and that's it.
For all intents and purposes, after she is kissed, she does not speak another line of dialogue for the rest of the movie, even though her character just had a huge turn. And her character is, like, the best equipped to deal with all the situations that follow after that point.
She just watches. She's
just silent.
Stands there by Val Kilmer's side.
Yep. She gets kissed. And then, and it's not like it's a magic kiss that silences her, like a Little Mermaid bargain or anything. It's just the movie's like, okay, the woman has been conquered, so now she has no function.
She's just set dressing, basically.
It's so weird because, so, I mean, her deal is she's the evil queen's daughter who, like, isn't totally on her mother's side. And so halfway through the movie, she gets kissed and then decides she's going to, I guess, because she never expresses this verbally.
She does not.
But I guess after one kiss, she decides she's going to turn on her mother. A man in another scene is the one who says, your daughter has betrayed you. What? News to us, news to her, maybe, because she didn't say it. But then they have all these conversations and plans about how they're going to, like, get into the castle and get to the evil queen and stop the evil queen.
It's like,
she doesn't say anything. It's her house.
I know. We're going into her
house. To your house to get your mother. No one addresses this to her.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to your house to get your mother. And she never speaks up to say, oh, yeah, that's my house. That's my mother. I mean, they know. It's not like it's a secret.
Yeah. There's so many weird bits there. Like, That she's just like, whatever. Apparently there was some scene that was cut where her character turn makes more sense, mm-hmm. but that doesn't explain why she doesn't talk about anything.
It's so bizarre. I will say, though, that the final battle between the evil queen and the good witch is fucking wild, and that is worth watching.
Yeah. I think that is correct. The climax of the movie is actually pretty watchable. In terms of just like, in sort of a Cats
it's
sort
like
of way.
I was going to say, it has a very similar vibe to Cats.
Yeah. We spent some time today watching some Jim Steinman music videos. And there's an intensity that Willow's climax has that is a real joy.
Yes. Oh, my
honestly,
goodness.
The castle, like some of those sets from Willow, those would make for a good Meatloaf video.
Oh,
or Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, my goodness. Let them both just run through those hallways with curtains billowing in. Oh,
white
Matthew.
Gowns.
You do need, there's that one white dress that I think is in Turnaround Bright Eyes. It's in, It's All Coming Back to Me Now. It's in I Would Do Anything for Love. There, women running around castles with candelabras in that dress is a real moment, and I think Willow would have benefited from having that moment.
I agree.
Willow should have been in the dress.
Willow should have been a music video for some Meatloaf song.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to distract from Meatloaf. The revelation of Willow is the person who plays Willow's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Is great.
She's fantastic. She's, like, of everybody in that movie, there's a lot of different acting styles happening.
Yes.
This is yet another of its problems, like, way down the list of problems of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the acting is, like, perfect Strangers-style goof-em-ups.
Val Kilmer's making some choices.
He really is. There's the weird, tiny little bunny characters who are...
Yeah, the brownies, Kevin Pollak's...
There's a comedy style happening there that's very Jar Jar.
Oh, my goodness. It perfectly predicts Jar Jar.
There is some, with some of the elderly British actors, they also appeared in a lot of Doctor Who's, and there's a certain Doctor Who quality to their delivery. Also, Jean Marsh, who plays the evil witch, the evil sorceress, is also the Mombi character from Return to Oz.
A little typecast, but I'm here for it.
Yeah. But the actress who plays Willow's wife is doing... just really great,
she's
subtle
great.
Acting.
She is great.
She's emotional.
She's believable, yeah. There is one part that's a little hard to watch where I think they made an actual little girl cry.
Like, yes.
That crying is not acting.
Yeah, yeah.
But that aside, the actress who plays Willow's wife is terrific.
And so I tried to find information about her on the internet. I don't know if she's like a stage actress or what, but nothing on IMDb. Everything that I can find about her is just like a list of people who are in Willow. So I don't know what became of that actress, but if she is a patron of this podcast, I hope you'll get in touch.
I was once on an airplane with Warwick Davis. He was stuck on a runway for hours. He was going up and down the aisle because I was with some people who were working on Star Wars video games, Matthew. And we had PlayStation portables, all of us, and we were playing some different things on it. And we were showing him various Star Wars games, and in one of them, you could hunt Ewoks.
Oh.
And he said, that's nasty.
I agree. I'm on Warwick's side there.
Oh, I don't disagree at all. But yes, he didn't get... Well, I mean, he had very good-natured about it, but he was like, oh, that's nasty.
Now, he would have been, what, like 14, 15 when he was Wicket the Ewok?
He was young. Yeah, he was young when he was Wicket.
He was 17 in Willow.
Which, yeah, we looked this up. The girl who played his daughter was 7, so he was very prolific.
Well, we don't know. In this fantasy world, people live fast and die young.
I guess so, yeah. 10-year-olds getting it on.
So he was born in 1970, so he would have been about 14 for Return of the Jedi, right?
Oh, maybe even younger, 13?
Yeah.
Well, it came out in 83, right? So maybe 12. I mean,
good grief.
Very youthful. Yeah.
Yeah. There you have it. So anyway, Willow, I think there's...
it's nasty to shoot an Ewok.
I think there's a good movie in Willow about Sorsha.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a certain point where saying if this movie was a different movie, it would be good, kind of starts to stretch to the point where it breaks. I think that there's so much you would have to clear away to get to
it would have to be completely different.
That it would be a very different movie.
Yes.
But like, I was also thinking that of collaborations that might have happened at that time. I think it's a movie that Steven Spielberg could have fixed.
Yeah.
Or at least made, if not good, memorable. Because like, I'm not convinced Hook is a good movie. But Hook is weirdly memorable.
I mean,
it is
just
a weird movie.
It moves along. There's causality. The characters are all acting in the same universe.
Dustin Hoffman's doing some wild stuff.
True.
Bob Hoskins is doing some wild stuff. The guy who plays Toodles. I mean, I actually think in a rare phenomena for him, Robin Williams might be the like one of the least memorable things in it. Like, his Peter is pretty bland. But, oh my goodness, the stuff with Hook and Smee.
Here's the thing. I think Steven Spielberg knows what is actually funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I think all the comedy in Willow is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just horrible comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Steven would have, in addition to a lot of other improvements made to this movie, would have found a way to make those brownie characters actually funny, would have found ways to make that, like, oh, there's this character in the beginning, Burgle Cut, who, we don't remember the character's names. But he's the mean guy in the village, and he pushes Willow around.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of his first scene, I said to you, James, mm-hmm. all right, is he going to A, fall in a pool,
yeah.
B, wind up in a pigsty,
uh-huh.
or C, something gross is going to fall on his head?
You did say that.
It was C.
It was
I called
C.
it mm-hmm. at the very end of the film. His last shot. He's also vomited upon by the baby in the movie. And apparently that was real baby vomit.
And it's a lot.
It's so
it's
much.
Incredible.
I was reading the fun facts about mm-hmm. the film. And one of those very fun facts is that he lifted the little baby actor up.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid just threw up on him and they left it in the movie.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing I think about. If Steven Spielberg had directed it,
mm-hmm.
it would have looked good.
That's the other thing. It's bad TV. It's bad TV, like 70s style bad TV.
Yeah, it's shot in nice locations, but it looks like shit.
Imagine if you took that like 1970s film stock to like New Zealand or something to shoot Lord of the Rings, but like it was on the film stock that couldn't. And
it's like the lens choices are wrong.
Oh,
the lighting is wrong.
Everything is a telephoto lens.
Yeah.
Like the camera is like afraid to get close to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is shot through a telephoto lens, like we're Jimmy Stewart in Rear Window or something. Like just like escaping. At one point, one of the characters goes out to an island and the camera doesn't go with him. We just see him out on the island. I'm like, is the camera trying to like ditch its own movie?
Right.
So there's that choice.
Yeah.
There's the choice not to use like polarizing filters. This is very technical, but they didn't use polarizing filters for some reason on a lot of the exteriors. So the sky is just white.
Yeah.
So you lose like beautiful cloud texture and stuff. They didn't like you can use like graduated or tobacco filters or something like that to make like the colors work. And then the film processing, it's just cheap film.
It doesn't look good. And at that point, not that it's a very good movie, but like Legend had come out. And Legend is visually a feast.
Yeah. Imagine if what's his name? Thomas Ripley. That's not it.
That's him. The talented Thomas Ripley.
The talented Thomas Ripley. Who's the director of Legend and Blade
name?
Runner? Oh, no. Ripley Jones?
It's
something Ripley, right? Isn't there a Ripley?
Well, I think you're maybe thinking of the alien.
I definitely am.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
But isn't his name Ripley?
No. Okay, what's her name?
Jesus. Blade Runner and Alien and Legend and
I mean,
Prometheus.
You're not that far off, but I don't want you to get it too soon.
Bipley?
It's not Bipley.
Rumpley?
It's not
Rumpley. Rumpley Fumbleskin?
It's not Grumpley Fumbleskin. Alien. Film by Grumpley Fumbleskin.
It sounds like a cat. It's a cat name.
Oh my goodness,
it's a Jellicle name.
Okay, it is a very Jellicle name. What is Grumpley Fumbleskin the cat of?
Oh no, oh dear. Grumpley Fumbleskin is the cat of curses.
Sing to me how he gets into the Heaviside lair.
Grumpley skin, you're gonna get me and I'm gonna get him. Get out of my town or I'll put curses on you and I have got to go get my salami.
Oh my goodness.
He got distracted by food at the end.
You will never be my Jellicle choice.
No!
What?
That was Grumpley.
Ineffable.
Ineffable. What's his name? Oh, Thomas Kinkade, painter of light.
No. I mean, he is kind of that.
What's his name, James? Oh, I'm in agony. Aliens, Alien, just the first one.
Just the first
one. And then the fourth one.
And no.
Really?
Not the fourth one.
Really? I thought he did the...
Did he do the Winona Ryder and Pumpkinhead movie?
What? What the hell are you talking about?
That's Alien 4.
Oh, I didn't know there was an Alien 4. I thought Prometheus was the fourth one.
Oh, no.
What was that one? Oh, no. It's like Rocky. It just keeps going.
Alien 4 was the one with Winona Ryder and the Pumpkinhead.
Okay, Return to Oz? I'm unfamiliar with that. Okay, no, wait. But blurpy, flurp, flurp, fancy fat.
It's not flurpy, fancy fat. But what is his Jellicle quality?
I mean, here's the thing. It sounds like a heavy cat, but we've already got two of those.
It's very front-loaded.
Flurpy, fancy cat. I don't know. He's the cat of the cutlery cabinet.
Sing to me.
Would you like a spoon? Would you like a fork? Get out of town. I'll give you my spork.
Keep going. That one's working.
There's knives in my cupboard. There's cutlasses in the ground. There's a ghost and the spirits are coming to town. I don't know. He's become a seance. He's a medium now.
Oh, my God.
He's got a crystal ball.
He's a medium large, if anything.
Big. No. James, the director.
Yes,
director.
What's his name?
A.O. Can you see it?
It's not A.O. Can you see it?
Elementium.
It's not Elementium.
It's Alan Ladd. That's not it.
No.
That's just a person.
He could have made it, but he didn't.
It's Clancy Shipwreck.
Oh my goodness, who's Clancy Shipwreck?
He solves nautical mysteries, maritime mystery, the maritime mystery man.
Clancy
Shipwreck.
The maritime mystery man.
Yes.
I like that, Matt. Yes. Tell me about Clancy Shipwreck.
Clancy.
You have to say it that way?
Clancy Shipwreck, the maritime mystery man.
Tell me a story.
He climbs in through the porthole when there's been a murder.
He seems like he might be the criminal.
Oh, but that's his curse. I must solve the murder before I'm accused.
Was he cursed by the cat?
I've been cursed by Klimbershamps, the cutlery cat. I can't remember his name. He put the whammy on me.
Does he have a sidekick or anything?
I've got a sidekick, Tweety Twiggums.
Tell me about Tweety Twiggums.
Tweety Twiggums, the talking parrot. Oh. He's a feathered fowl beast.
Why do you keep him?
I don't. I kicked him out the window, but he keeps flying back in.
Does he help or hinder the solving of mysteries?
He pecks the ground.
What does that have to do with Clancy's investigations?
A clue.
Oh?
A clue.
Oh, he finds clues.
He finds clues in the
ground?
It's a Clancy clue.
What makes a clue a Clancy clue?
A Clancy clue is whenever I'll see it, but I don't want anyone else to notice, so I'll just sidle on over and sit down upon the clue so no one else can see it.
So you obscure the evidence.
I do. That's why they think I'm the murderer.
Are you sure you're not the murderer?
I might be. The bird did it.
Does Clancy cover for the bird? Is the bird the murderer in every case?
Clancy loves his Tweety Twiggums.
I thought he didn't.
I kicked him out the window to protect him.
From who?
From the constable.
What's the constable's name?
Captain Spanks.
And is Captain Spanks hot on the trail of Tweety Twiggums?
It's I, Captain Spanks.
Oh my goodness.
I'm hot on the trail of some hot tail.
Whoa, of what?
Oh, it's here on the love boat.
Oh my goodness.
I've got a cutlery cat and a cowslip, a cow. It's Noah's
lovers?
Ark, apparently.
is the love, oh. Is the love boat an animal husbandry barge?
Mm-hmm. We bring them out here, we play romantical music, and we come back with five more animals than we left port with.
That sounds like a very inefficient way.
Why do we take them to sea?
Why indeed?
Oh, it's all part of the mystery. I'm hot on the case.
Well, wait, so has an animal been killed?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh.
No. Nobody knows who's been killed, but
then why is Clancy here?
Clancy is here to solve the riddle.
Well, so Clancy's just waiting for a murder.
You wait long enough, everyone dies eventually. There'll be foul play for some of them.
What are the clues that Clancy's obscuring?
The Clancy clues. There's a footprint. There's a little footprint on the poop deck.
Okay. Oh yuck.
There's a noodle on the mizzenmast.
Fair enough. That is mysterious.
Someone left the noodle here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is a mystery. Yes. What is Clancy's theory about that noodle?
I think it was the noodle man.
The noodle man.
The noodle man came through. Is the noodle man's doodle bug?
Is the doodle bug one of the animals?
Yes. Yes.
What does it do?
Just a little dance, a little song and dance number. But I can't leave. I have to watch the whole thing because I can't move, or else someone will see the noodle.
Well, why does Clancy have to obscure the noodle?
The noodle, because then they'll think that I left it.
Oh, I see.
So now,
can Clancy just leave the boat?
They blamed me for everything. Oh. I'll fly away once the murder's been solved. I'm off to my next boat, next mystery boat.
You'll fly away. How do you fly?
On Mr. Twiggy.
Oh, yeah. How big is he?
He's enormous.
Oh, my.
I wasn't able to knock him out the window. He won't fit.
Oh.
Huge, huge, huge bird.
Oh.
It's a bird of prey.
How did you meet?
Grinder.
Ah!
Right. Where are we going with this one? So this is the premise for our next Queens of Adventure storyline.
Who directed Alien?
Who? James.
What?
Why won't you let me figure this out?
I think you're on the case.
Clancy. No, it was... Shirley Bassey.
Imagine! The movie would have had some range.
You're all fired. Nobody has the range. Yes. You know, that's based on a real thing.
Is it?
Yes. She's like at dinner or something, yeah. For like in a documentary, was recording her talking about somebody. I can't remember who. And she was just like shit talking some other singer and saying she doesn't have the range.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway. Is there an L? I feel like there's a loom.
There is an L.
Labudinus tuba.
It's not it's not the labudinus tuba, but tell me about the labudinus tuba.
It's the song that plays whenever Bulk and Skull appear on Power Rangers.
It's the Bulk and Skull theme.
Yep. That's he who composed it. Famous composer. No, James, don't distract me. It was, I need a hint. There's an L somewhere in the name.
There is an L somewhere in
Paul
the name.
Paul Atreides.
Oh my goodness.
That's, where did I pull that name from?
Where indeed?
No, it's from Lamb Chop. Linger? Alan? I want to say there's like an Alan kind of sound.
Not really.
You got to give me a hint.
It's two names.
Pony Kennel Man.
It's not. That's
Pony
three.
Pony Kennel Man is three names,
that's
not
three.
A person's
I gave
name.
You one clue.
Yep. Pony Steve. Pony Steve. James.
Tell me about Pony Steve.
Pony Steve. He's a cowboy, but he's super short.
Okay.
Just like.
Oh, like a pony.
Like a pony. Yes. Oh, speaking of which, we got some pony news.
I need pony
from
news.
From Joanne.
I need to hear Joanne's pony news.
Joanne has filled us in on the difference between ponies and horses.
Oh, I've often wondered.
So, Buttons and Zippers, as you'll recall, Buttons and Zippers are two of her horse companions.
Oh, okay. I thought, oh my goodness, I was already confused because it was like, you know, oh, Buttons and Zippers. You know how horses have buttons and zippers.
Yes. Yes. Well, all the finest dressed horses. No, minis are miniature horses.
Okay.
And so Buttons and Zippers might be minis or just very small ponies.
Oh.
The line between horses, ponies, and minis are generally based on height.
Okay.
But body type also plays a role.
Oh.
This is according to Joanne.
Okay.
Ponies are typically stockier than horses.
Okay.
And have, in my opinion, she says, a cuter build.
Hmm.
Ideally, minis should have the same proportion as horses. So if you saw a picture of a mini with nothing to indicate size, it would look like a horse. Some breeds can cross the pony-horse size line, but are always called horse or pony regardless of height. For example, Connemara ponies can be taller than pony size, but are always referred to as ponies.
Because they have pony proportions.
I guess that's it. They have pony proportions. Now, I'm going to say, based on the picture that she sent us a couple of weeks ago, that zippers is hard to tell. Buttons looks like a pony to me.
Oh, my.
And Diesel is a horse.
Is a horse. Well, I make no judgments about who is what, but I am grateful for this information. So I suppose that a pony is to a horse as a Tolkien dwarf is to a human. Not only smaller, but also differently proportioned.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. Who directed that movie, though, James? Who I need more of a hint.
The movie.
I need more of a hint than two names. That describes so many people.
The last name is a first name.
Richard.
It's just one name again. I need two names.
Richard.
It's not Richard. Richard.
Paula Lady.
Lady's not a first name.
It could be. What about Lady Finger?
Sing me her theme song.
Lady of finger my head. Oh. I've got to go out and I've got to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. She's very sleepy.
Good night.
Oh, good night.
That's the end. Finger. No, James, what? Last name starts with an R, is also a first name. Ricardo
Montalban?
Montalban. No, imagine it's not Montalban Ricardo, because his last name starts with an R, and he's a director. And
I never said his last name starts with an R.
For fuck's sake.
No, you've invented a rule.
I think I have. You're right. Okay, so his last name is also a first name.
Correct.
Yolanda.
All right, what's his first name?
Yellow.
Yellow Yolanda?
Yellow Yolanda.
Who is Yellow Yolanda?
Ooh, I'm an interior decorator.
Uh-huh.
I've got the solution to all your problems right here.
Is it yellow?
It's yellow! You're all yellow.
Oh, like the Coldplay song.
Oh, it is. Bananas.
Oh, like the art.
Yes.
The banana taped to the wall.
Yes. No, James, let me think of his name.
All right.
Louis.
One name. I need two names.
No, I'm trying to think of his last name because that's the clue that you gave me. His last name is also a first name.
Yes.
Charles.
That was many Charleses.
Charleston.
Charles Charleston?
Charles Charleston.
It's not Charles Charleston.
No, it's hard to say. Charleston Chew.
Chew famous, is not a first name.
Famous director. Chewy. Charleston Chewy. Charleston Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
Charleston Chewbacca. Is it a candy bar? Is it a dance? Nobody knows.
Matthew, I can imagine like the lurch. If Star
Lurch.
Wars come out in the late 60s, not late, the early 60s, everyone doing the Charleston Chewbacca.
William? Smegley William?
Smegley William. It's not Smegley William.
Is his first name also a first name?
Not really.
Ugh. Wampus.
I mean, it is because it's his first name, but
Jambert.
It's not Wampus Jambert. So Jambert's the first name you're going with there.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Jambert.
It's not Wampus Jambert.
Wampus. Alabaster Quimby.
That's not Alabaster Quimby.
I need sounds. I need noises.
You're right that there's an L sound in it somewhere.
That's not somewhere.
Somewhere.
Okay. So, I mean, by that...
All right. The first name has an L sound.
Okay.
The second name is also a first name.
But the first name doesn't sound like a first name.
That's correct.
Spreel Timothy.
It's not Spreel Timothy.
Glander Chuck.
It's not Glander Chuck.
The old Glander Chuck trick.
It's not that one. It's not that trick.
Marpler Tony.
It's not Marpler Tony.
What does it sound like?
You said originally.
Yeah. Ripley?
Yes.
Spipley?
It's Glipley? Not Spip. No.
Nipley?
Nipley? No, it's not. Okay, well... follow that to its conclusion.
Nipley Chester?
That's a great name. It's not Nipply Chester.
Nipply. You said follow Nipply to its logical conclusion.
Oh, no, so no, 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 not Nipply to solve Suckles. The riddle. I just wanted to. Wait, what did you say?
Nipply Suckles.
Not second name's not a first name, but
could be.
Lock that into place, then keep spinning the first name.
Okay. Nipply Suckles, and we're going to keep spinning the first name.
Yeah.
Spiply Suckles, Whiply Suckles, Giply Muckles, Ziply Zuckles.
No.
Liply Liplock.
No.
Okay, wait. Suckles.
Yes.
Nipply Suckles, and we're spinning the first name. Is there a first name that sounds like Suckles? Chuckles?
No.
It's a first name for a clown.
I'm just trying to help.
Are you?
I am.
Suckles.
Uh-huh.
Ruckles. Chuckles.
Wait.
Fuckles. Knuckles? Is it Knuckles?
Why are you switching that one up?
Okay, so I'm not switching. So I'm not switching the first letter.
Well, not
maybe
just
I need
yet.
To switch the end. Suckton, Suckby, Suckworth. What?
All right, say the whole name.
Carl Suckworth.
Where did Carl come from?
I don't know. It has an L. It's.
It does have an L, but it doesn't sound like Ripley.
Okay. Pimply Fuckles.
Can you say the? Can you not change the last name?
Pimply Suckles.
Okay, now let's work from there.
Pimply Suckles.
Uh huh.
Wimply Buckles. No, you said not to change the last name. Wimply Suckles.
No. Change the P to a D.
Dimply Suckles. Dimply? Dimly? Dingy? Dingy? Dangy? Dangy? Dangly?
Tell me about Pimply Suckles.
I don't want to. It's gross.
I bet it is.
Pimply Suckles. Oh, James.
What?
He works in the sewers.
Does he tell me all about
it? Not with permission. He's a freelancer.
Uh-huh.
He unclogs your toilet from the other side.
When you don't want him to?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not good. Okay. Dimply?
It's not Dimply.
I know, but is it closer than Pimply?
Kind of.
Dingly, dangly.
It's not dingly, dangly.
Dangly Suckles.
Dangly. Who's Dangly Suckles?
Dangly, his brother.
Okay. Does he also work in the sewer?
No.
Oh.
He's a bird.
Oh, does he work with Chauncey?
He works with Chauncey.
Uh-huh.
He's the real killer.
I bet.
Durgly. Durgle. Darling.
Okay.
Darling Suckles.
How does Darling Suckles fit into the family?
Darling Suckles. The nursemaid.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Okay. Is that where the whole family gets their name?
Yep. From the nursemaid tradition.
Yep.
James, this isn't helping at all. I feel like I'm getting further and further and further.
Just wait.
Digimon?
No, not Digimon. Wait, just reset. Let's go back.
Okay.
What's your first guess?
Ripley.
Okay, work from there, please.
Ripley, Spiply,
okay,
Fickly.
Wait.
Spiply?
No.
Fickly?
Wait.
Nickly? Ziply?
No.
Ripley. We're going back to Ripley.
Please stay on Ripley.
Ripley Dipley.
It's not Ripley Dipley.
Okay, we're staying on Ripley.
Uh-huh.
Ellen Ripley.
It's not Ellen Ripley.
Is Ripley the first name or the last name?
The first name.
Ripley Suckles.
Okay, yep. Now, sort it out.
Sort it out! I'll sort you out.
You have the initials correct.
Okay. R.S. Really sells.
The number of syllables is not correct.
Ripple suckler. Ripple.
You're getting further. With Ripple Sorklor.
Ripple Sword Man. So, it's not a man.
Ripple Sword Man.
Okay, so Ripple.
It's not Ripple.
Nipple.
It's not Nipple either. I told you had the initials correct.
Oh, Ripple. Ripple, Ripple, Ripple.
I never said it was Ripple.
Ripper. Stink.
Tell me about it's gotta be Stink. No,
Ripper Stink.
I need to hear about Ripper
Stink. He's a wrestler, a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
He just tears you in half, literally tears you in half, and puts you back together. But sometimes he mixes up the parts.
It stinks?
He stinks. He says, "How'd I do?" And then the wrestlers say, "It stinks."
Excellent.
Okay. Rippler. And it's got to be a man's name for the last name. Sting. Sting is a person.
Uh-huh.
Steven.
Rippler Sting.
Sam. Stony. That's Tony with an S.
It is Tony with an S.
Swilliam.
What's Ripple's, the full name?
Ripple Swilliam.
Tell me about Ripple Swilliam.
He lives in the trees.
What does he do there?
He plays tricks on you.
What kind of tricks?
You walk under the tree and he'll drop a little pie on your head.
You must go through a lot of pies.
They get delivered.
From who?
By the birds.
Oh, no, the birds again.
The birds.
There is a conspiracy of birds.
A mischief of rats.
Yes.
There is R.S.
R.S.
Ripple or something like it.
It's not Ripple. I've
oh my God.
I've made it abundantly clear it's not Ripple.
Oh my God. You said to stick with Ripley.
Okay.
Ripley.
Uh-huh.
Ribley? Rimley? Wrinkly Christy Brinkley?
It's not Wrinkly Christy Brinkley.
Wrinkly Brinkley. Okay, Wrinkly?
It's not Wrinkly.
Wrinkly Sam.
It's not Wrinkly Sam.
Ripley Sam?
Okay. You're zeroing in.
Ripple? Ripples?
Oh, going away.
Ripple Sam.
It's not Ripple Scott. Sam.
Ripple,
wait, what?
Ripple Scott?
Okay.
Wait. You're giving me quite a look.
Keep going.
You are giving me the look of a man who needs to sneeze.
No.
Ripple Sam. Ripple Scott.
Wait.
Ripple Scott toilet paper.
Wait, no. Back
Ripple,
up.
Ripple Scott.
Yeah.
Ribley Scott. Ridley Scott.
Oh.
Ribley Scott.
No, not
Ridley Scott.
It's not Ribley.
Are you sure? Ridley Scott? That doesn't sound right to me.
I don't know anymore. Please look it up.
I don't know either. Like, any name that I hear
I
at this
I thought it was that at one point.
Ridley Scott. Yeah. Sir Ridley Scott.
See?
Sir Ridley Mipple Scott.
Oh, he directed
How
Legend,
could you do this to
Matthew,
me?
And he made it look nice, even though the movie's not that good. Tim Curry's fun.
He is.
Tom Cruise isn't.
Tim Curry. And Alan...
Rickman. Yeah.
Now, they should do a movie together.
I wish. You know, we'll get on that. Yes, let's make that happen.
He's got a lot of movies in development, that Ridley Scott.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman. Well, I mean, he's developing a smell. What? Oh. So he's working on a movie called Potsdamer Plots.
What?
Which is the name of a place.
Oh.
Plots means place.
Sure, I thought you were just having another stroke.
But that's how I felt when I saw Plots. Because it's right next to another project that he's working on called Untitled Alien Prequel.
Oh.
And I really quickly read it as Untitled Alien Plots.
Oh my goodness. Well, that almost does sound German.
It does.
Untitled Alien Plots.
Okay, we got to talk about Model Land. We've been going for way too long, and haven't touched on Model Land.
Because actually we have been going way too long.
We have, but here's the thing. This chapter is super long, and I want to get through it so we can get through to the other side.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about it fast.
Oh my goodness. Oh, we're going to
Chapter 37, Man Attack and Heartache.
Man Attack and Heartache.
So they're planning to escape. We may just do part of this chapter because it is weirdly long.
There's a lot of man attack.
They're planning to escape. They've heard the news about a zip zap that'll get them out of Model Land.
Yes.
And Tookie's feeling kind of bad about that because, Tyra writes, it was undeniable. She was in love.
With the zip zap. No.
With Bravo.
Bravo, the bestostero.
And so she's not listening to her friends anymore. She's just kind of thinking about Bravo and their love for each other.
He did put his finger in her mouth.
And they've got some kind of plan. And they describe it a couple of times. Like, they go over the plan multiple times.
Yes.
And it never makes sense to me.
Well, describe to me your understanding of it.
Okay. Shiraz, or possibly Piper, is fiddling with a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, what if I don't find the switchboard? You will, Dylan assured her. You as being Princess of Sans Calor, Shiraz whooped. Piper narrowed her eyes at her. She seemed annoyed, too. There is no such thing. This is Model Land, Piper, Dylan said. Anything's possible here. What are we talking about?
Sure.
None of these lines of dialogue seems to connect to anything. Anyway, Tookie's being kind of mean to them. She's like, look, I'm doing my best here. You elect me to lead her, so I'm leading. If you want someone else to lead, you shouldn't have picked me.
Mm-hmm. You tell him, Tookie.
Dylan mutters at her, narrows her eyes at Tookie so hard that only the whites show.
How do you narrow... Wait, what?
I think I misread that. I did. Oh. Rolling her eyes so hard that only the whites showed.
Sure.
I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense.
No, you
like
can
it.
Do that. It's,
okay,
it,
I don't want
yeah.
it. So they are making their plans. She's going to leave Bravo behind.
Oh, no.
It's the next morning. Mm-hmm. She's brushing her teeth.
Yes.
No longer did the sight of her toothbrush make her feel a pang of rejection.
The toothbrush was a very meaningful artifact.
It's a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And then the announcement
was because her father was going to use the toothbrush to get her DNA tested to prove that she wasn't actually his daughter just before she was chosen for Model Land and
this
put into the flesh bag.
Convoluted.
Yes.
So no longer did she blah, 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 side of the toothbrush, make her feel pain of rejection. Mm. Then it is announced that a surprise man attack is happening.
Surprise man attack.
They're told, the announcement says, don't forget to bring protection, elbow and knee pads, that is. He snickered lewdly.
Oh, because of condom reason.
James, could you snicker lewdly? Nope.
No?
No.
Wait, what about...
Yeah, that's it. Tookie's standing in the bathroom, I think. And she feels a presence behind her, and she sees Ciel standing in the middle of the bathroom. All the red, blue, and purple water spouting out of the holes in the mirrors came to an abrupt stop. I know there was some deal with that, but I could not tell you what it is.
This is like something from a Japanese horror movie. You're in the bathroom, staring at the toothbrush that your father was going to use to disown you, and then all the water in the bathroom stops, and there is a shape-shifting demon woman standing in the middle of the toilet.
She grabs her. Mm. She pulls her away, and she says, don't worry, CL said in a cackling voice. The torture won't last long. She says, after man attack is over, you and your little friends better come straight to me. And if you don't find me, I'll find you.
Yep.
Once again, Tyra doing very effective horror.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And then we once again get a little information about the plan. And now I think I know a little bit more about it at this point.
Yeah.
Because it says, blah, blah, blah. Tookie wondered when the Unicas would arrive. As soon as they did, Piper would scout out the place for the switchboard. She'd report back to Shiraz, who would tell Dylan, and then Dylan would faint. When Piper turned the lights out, Tookie would know to meet them at the southwest corner of the Orb Arena, and Shiraz's night vision would guide them to the 7-7 Stadium, where the zip-zap was. I'm living in a cuckoo clock.
You really are. And I am here with you.
That paragraph is immediately followed by the word strip.
Mm-hmm.
The manicant said. And so the man attack is performed in one's underwear.
Oh, that's right.
So she has to strip down to her underwear.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little
extra sensuality.
Tookie has a talk with Zarpessa really briefly.
Mm-hmm.
She tells her, you don't understand what it's like to be me. And she says, if you ever say you understand me again, I will cut your tongue out. It's a good threat.
Good dialogue. This is a real treat.
I 100% can imagine Tyra saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Because your freakazoid, unfortunate-looking, water-headed baby self can't, and you never will.
That sounds like lyrics from Cats.
It kind of does. And so now the Man Attack lineup has been announced.
Mm-hmm.
A scoreboard looms in the square. Also, by the way, I have absolutely no idea what this environment looks like.
It's the Orb Arena, home of the Man Attack.
Absolutely no idea what anything looks like or where anything is. If there are thousands of people watching, if they're just doing this by themselves,
mm-hmm.
no clue. But the scoreboard says that Tookie will be competing against, I think,
mm-hmm.
Bravo. Her lover.
Yes. Well, lover. Yeah, I suppose so. He inserted himself.
I am getting so dizzy.
Yes.
By this chapter. I'm being made so dizzy by this chapter that there's a line here that says the girls disappeared back into the prep zone and put on their undergarments. And I got all spun around and just read it as the girls disappeared into their undergarments.
That totally could happen.
And I just read that and kept going.
Sure.
I was like, sure. Yeah, of course I did.
It does have a Cats-like effect where after a while, if the main characters did disappear into their underwear, you'd be like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What else would happen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm following you there.
They skimble shanksed.
So I think that might be where we leave it for this chapter.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think that's a good cliffhanger.
It really did. The girls disappearing into their underwear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That leaves you wanting more.
You know, I always want more Model Land.
James, I've made you so uncomfortable. One of your socks just fell off.
I knocked your socks off me. You did knock my sock off.
Hmm. So I think that's where we'll leave it for our Model Land discussion. We'll pick it up next week.
Oh, my goodness.
What's going to happen in the Man Attack?
What do you think will happen? Oh, you read it, so never
mind. I did. But I couldn't tell you.
To you, the listener at home, what will happen in the Man Attack?
Give us your predictions in the comments.
Your answer may surprise me.
It almost certainly will. Every answer will be a surprise. Okay, we have been chatting away for far too long. Let us conclude our chatter here, yes?
My nose touched the microphone.
Oh.
And it distressed me.
Do you need a hug? Do you need a little kiss on your nose?
I will eventually. I was not expecting cold metal on the tip of my nose.
Mm-hmm. Well, just you wait. Just you wait till you see what happens to your nose.
Oh, you get very pointy.
Are you saying that to me or the microphone?
My lover.
Okay, I can hear your tone of voice that you might need a nap. So I'm going to probably put you to bed in a little bit and then get this episode posted. Everybody, thanks again for joining us. Thanks for your support. Thanks for being a part of our lives. And let us know if you have recommendations. Oh, and be the way, BT Dubs, by the way.
No, I like be the way.
Be the way. That's my new sign-off.
Be the way.
Be the way. By the way, I was going to say, join us for the next live stream that I'm doing. It's coming this Saturday, the 25th. You can join me on YouTube, where I'll be chatting with folks about the movies and books and shows that are bringing you joy, mostly Cats. And we'll be all hanging out there. You can find a link to that at the top of the Sewers of Paris Twitter feed. And that'll just about do it, I think, for tonight.
Be the way.
Be the way.